Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. How are you? We didn't have music today because we're on a different recorder. We're on our little H4N Pro because we're in New York, me and Johnny. Johnny, are you there?
I'm here.
I can barely hear you.
Really?
Oh, there you are.
I'm looking at you. I'm talking to you.
And we have a bunch of PR people staring at us.
Yes, but we are in the classic car club of Manhattan.
Right. And tell everybody what that is.
I don't know. It's a car club.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I've been invited to many things here over the years. I think you pay money and you can come get a drink at the bar and look at a radical hanging on the wall.
It's one of these many, many places where you can store cars or... No, wait. I think I know what this place is. I think they have a collection themselves.
Okay.
And if you're part of the club, you get so many weekends with each of the cars. And then you kick in money together. It's like, it's the ultimate Plan Z place.
Yes.
Right?
It's rich guy social car socialism.
And we're here because Volvo flew us out to talk about the EX30, their new little entry-level electric, which is really cool. We're going to have someone on come on later. Who's coming on to chat about it?
I think a guy named Thomas.
A guy named Thomas. That's awesome.
We'll get his last name.
We'll get his last name, and he can tell us about the car in the meantime.
Yeah.
We're happy to see you guys. Hope you're driving, listening. There's so many people driving and listening right now.
It's crazy, right?
And they send us the pictures, and that's a very good usage of our show. I'm going to look for the show rundown here. I've been traveling a lot. I've had a bunch of wild days. I don't know if you've been seeing, but you hooked me up with that great
tennis
thing.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
Holy crap. That was an amazing thing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Zenith Watches, Patrick Mouratoglou. I still don't know how to pronounce his name, but we'll call him Patrick from France, who's Serena Williams' coach.
So he's like the best coach in the world.
Did I tell you this? Like, I follow him on Instagram, and instead of watching TV these days, I'm watching his simple lessons on Instagram.
Okay.
And then out of the blue, you're like, hey, do you want to go hit with Patrick? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like a lightning bolt.
I get these all the time where they're like, do you want to go golfing? No.
No, I don't want
do you
the golf.
Play tennis?
Anything is tennis. Yeah. So James and I went down to the Manhattan Country Club on Friday, and we hit with a bunch of their pros doing this clinic. And a minute later, Diego Schwartzman from the tour, a random French guy who I forget, who's a pro, and Patrick Mouratoglou step onto the court and start whacking with us. I'm on one side of the court. I've got four other guys who are way better at tennis than me. Like, look, we all dream of these moments, okay? Part of, like, success is being ready for the moment, right?
Right,
and,
right.
Like, if you had said, hey, why are you playing tennis? I'd say, because at some point, I would like to be evaluated by Patrick Mouratoglou. Well, that evaluation did not go well because I showed up on this court. I immediately felt like I'm not as good as any of these guys, and I wasn't. There was a 16-year-old hitter there who was hitting at a very high level, whose backhand, his dad kept saying, you do your regular backhand. And I went, that's not his regular backhand.
Oh, he goes, he's trying some English on
you? No, he's got a broken bone. And I'm like, and he's hitting like that? It was exactly what you're not supposed to do in tennis, which is get in your own head and then self-destruct. And I did.
Good, yeah.
And, you know, I noticed the second I get out there and I start hitting with Patrick, he started slowing his balls down and then going, good. I was like, oh, no, I'm that guy. But James, my son, jumped in. He was on the court next door when Patrick went over there and beat him at a couple points. I was just so impressed.
Really?
The kids, they're fierce.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he knows who Patrick is.
Probably
doesn't.
But he's
one of the greatest teachers. And Zenith Watches, thank you for doing that. It was, you know, we all had our Zenith watches on.
Nice.
I had my Crown and Caliper Zenith.
Oh, cool,
Chrono.
Cool.
It was fun. It was fantastic. It was 1,000 degrees. We were sweaty. And then, you know, we said our goodbyes. We went to the tournament that night, UTS, and then off to Boston, see a little Red Sox. It's been quite a trip.
But that is always humbling, like, to be around a pro athlete, because you realize that, like, they're almost a different species than you. Like,
oh, yeah.
I used to carry helmets for the Dallas Cowboys. They used to practice at the college by my house where I grew up. And when I was, like, I think I was like, I don't know, 15 or so. Troy Aikman was a rookie.
What does that mean, carry helmets for them?
Oh, just all the local kids. You'd go and, you know, you'd watch them practice and you'd carry their helmets when they went back to the locker room.
I see.
Carry them out from the locker room, give them water. You run up on the field. You know, it was cool. Got to see like Tom Landry.
During a pro game.
Preach. No. Practice. Summer practice. Summer practice.
I see.
Used to practice in Thousand Oaks.
Wow.
And then when I was like 15, they had like a scrimmage game and some of us played and I was center and like Troy Aikman was quarterback rookie and like they're just so much bigger.
I was there, I was on the other side of the court and I was in my own head and I had practiced way, I made a huge mistake. I was hitting all week long and
I was at
50% by the time I got there. And I only look for one good moment. One good shot.
Right.
And I had a couple of long rallies, and I'm sure I'm just self-defeating here, but I didn't have that memorable one shot. Like, I know I'm not going to be a pro at this point. Maybe.
I like how you still keep the dream alive.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a year and a half into this crazy tennis journey, and I know how to hit better, and it's what they say about tennis. You're just in your own head. In your own head if you got to figure out a way to get out and just relax and hit, and I couldn't find it, but whatever.
Anyway, it was
a dream come true. The UTS tournament was excellent.
Good.
And Zenith, fantastic watch. I love those guys.
I love them. They're tragically underrated watches. They're so cool.
I'm wearing one right now. Look
Primero.
At that.
Primero. Yeah.
How beautiful is that?
That's
thing?
An El Primero right there.
It's a gorgeous thing.
Yeah.
And then Fenway, fantastic.
I don't like much about the city of Boston, but Fenway is like one of the coolest stadiums. It's just like, how many home runs?
What do you mean?
Because it's smaller than most pro stadiums.
Yeah, they do.
So there's like tons of home runs.
Well, that wasn't it. I mean, as I came out of Logan, I just hadn't been back home in a while where I went to college.
Yeah.
And, you know, I posted about it. My other son was coming out of his canoe camp. He had been camping and hiking his way to Canada or something. And his flights all get changed. So I'm just walking around the city by myself waiting for him to get there. And, you know, went to my alma mater and found myself standing in front of Berklee College of Music looking up where I had been kicked out of the dorms. Remember that story I told you, the 8-story drop?
Yeah.
I have a nice picture. I'll post it with it. And I'm like, oh, that's really... And I was feeling nostalgic because that's really where my career began, was that moment I dropped the fluorescent light bulb on a Saturday night onto the sidewalk and then get kicked out and then saw David Letterman doing it. And I went, well, I need to go work for TV. I got to get out of this school.
Yeah, right.
I soon after left and now I'm here with you. So maybe it didn't work out. But the Red Sox were fantastic. Caitlin from the Red Sox took me around and showed me around. And, you know.
But were there home runs?
This was before the game.
Oh, okay.
And you walk, you know, if you play.
No, I meant at the game. Did you?
No, I'm telling you what's more important to the baseball player here. Look, if you played, did you play baseball?
Yeah.
When you walk onto a field like that, onto hallowed grounds, it feels you feel things. And
I mean, how growing up, some.
Growing up a Red Sox fan.
Sure, sure.
And I hadn't been in the scoreboard yet. And just standing on the field. I'd been there before, but it's still, it's humbling. It's amazing. It's hot. It was fun. And we had an amazing time. I took a bunch of pictures, went home. Picked up Jack, and then we had crazy Mustafa, the taxi driver. I made this mistake at Logan. I said to the taxi driver at 7, God. I go, the game starts at 10 minutes. Mustafa, who I'm pretty sure was on meth,
Mustafa
dancing around the tunnels in a way I'd never seen, threatening people, trying fake sideswiping them like Zuckerman used to do in the Carrera GT. And my son is going, "What's happening here?" I go, "I don't know." He's trying to tell me stories from camp. Mustafa is jumping in with the stories, saying, "Yes, yes, Canada, it's crap, it's crap. I was there too. And I think he's joking, but he's not.
Right.
He slams the brakes on. And the town car next to us in the tunnel. And he goes, I meet you back at the lot. I go, "Mustafa, what are you doing?" He goes, "I don't swear, but I'm going to meet him back at the lot and kick the shit out."
Wow. Well, I remember.
And then he said he doesn't road rage after that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And we start going again. He tried to sideswipe two more cars that he didn't like. And I'm not lying. He went like this. Boom. In the middle of stories, I'm hearing Mustafa is sideswiping people.
But, like, it's not that different than most Boston drivers. Like,
No. Yes, it is.
Boston's crazy.
No. Mustafa is crazier.
Okay, but you agree that the aggression level of Boston drivers is higher on average.
I used to think that. Yeah. I don't anymore.
Really?
I think L.A.'s worse than anything I've ever seen.
I just remember I was in Boston in like the 90s, and I was with a local guy, and he's driving around, and we're in a traffic jam, and he just starts driving on the shoulder. I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing?" He's like, "I hate traffic." I'm like, I don't know. It's just it's crazy, that town.
No. If I were to rate Boston, New York, and L.A. as the worst drivers, I would say
aggression, though. I like Seattle has worse drivers, but like people that'll kill you.
All right, let me rate it. Let me explain.
All right,
New York is a very aggressive driving city.
Yeah,
but it's kind of the flavor of the city. Like, it's just the spirit of the city.
Yeah,
we kind of like it.
Yeah, it's kind
of accepted. You beep your horn, you wave
fine.
At someone.
Yeah, and the pedestrians are aggressive. Everyone,
you run
aggressive.
Somebody over. Hey, it's all fine.
I'm walking here.
Boston has an aggression to it, but there's also order, and people generally aren't driving around with guns.
Okay.
L.A. is out of control.
Well, the guns are, yeah, fair, okay.
You know, so Mustafa is fighting with the car next to it. I look over to go, "Is this guy going to pull a gun?"
Right.
And then I realize, I don't have to worry about it. He goes, "No, no one has guns." He goes, "Why?" Mustafa goes, "I do, but I don't ever take it out."
Wow.
No lie.
Wow.
My son is cracking up, and I'm like, "Yeah, welcome to Boston."
Right, right.
L.A., I have genuine fear on the highway. Hmm. If I try not to do stupid things because I get the feeling I could get hit.
Yeah, I just meant, anyways.
You meant what?
Boston drivers were maniacs when the few times I've been there.
I don't agree with that.
People are freaking nuts.
Nah. Mm. No. And look, it's not the drivers. The people of Boston are nuts.
The
people are aggressive for the most part. But right. I have to tell you, it felt like to me, like I was sitting with a bunch of Mets fans. I went to two games.
So I got there
Saturday. I walked out this Hotel Commonwealth, which is in Kenmore Square.
Yeah.
I got swept into a crowd, and everybody's going to Fenway. I go, "I'm going to go to Fenway." I'm in that lucky position of, you know, you want to go to an event and you're one person. You get onto StubHub.
Right.
I got seats behind home plate for like $100 because there's only one seat. Guess what the rub was?
Mets fans.
All Mets fans. All smelly, horribly dressed, loud, loutish, drunk Mets fans. Who,
as opposed to the loud, smelly, horribly dressed Red Sox fans.
Yeah, but they're my people.
Okay.
I like them and they cheer in the right places.
Okay.
So every time the chants were hilarious. So,
oh, yeah.
So they start going, "Let's go, Mets." And the crowd went crazy, but nobody fought. Nobody attacked. The Red Sox fans, inspired, said, "Let's go, Yankees." And the Mets fans went, "No, boo." And they started. It was like all.
That's good. That's
it was good.
Good
nature.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But that is different than it was when I grew up.
Yeah.
It used to be, if you were cheering, the way these guys were standing up yelling at Red Sox, if you did that any, you know, before, you would get hit in the head and the beard to start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to some of the
vendors. That's how it is still at Dodger Stadium.
I was talking to some of the vendors about it, and they're like, nah, no, now it's like Yankee fans and Red Sox fans sit together and they have a good time. The edge is kind of off a little bit. And
yeah.
Which I don't mind.
Go to a Dodger game. It's quite violent.
I go to them all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems at the Dodger game.
Okay.
In fact, I went.
You cheering for the Dodgers?
They're my second favorite team.
Okay, so yeah.
I had to go when the Red Sox played them in the World Series, and I saw the Red Sox win, and I had to go cheer for the Red Sox there, and everybody was great, and everybody was nice. I didn't take much pleasure in that win because I'm a Dodger fan as well, but
yeah, I think go to like the Giants Dodgers and cheer for the Giants, and you'll get, you know, beaten in the skull.
Yeah, we're gonna beat on you.
And then yeah, Zuckerman can hand you a card.
You know, aside from being sponsored by Volvo today. And they put us up at that Equinox Fitness Hotel.
Yes.
Right?
It's nice. I have a good view of the trains.
It's a lovely place.
Yeah.
Except their reception desk is in the wrong place.
You don't like the 25th floor for a reception desk?
No, because you walk in and there's nothing there. And they start.
It's all residences below.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So people live there.
Yeah. There's a separate entrance, which my guy dropped me off at. And I walked in and they're like, oh, sir, you have to go around the corner and in the hotel entrance. I was like, okay.
I don't think you should have to go up 25 stories to check into a hotel. Just don't. In fact, I don't even want to check in. I just want to get out of the cab and give me my room key. I don't know why someone hasn't figured out that step. That Elon Musk step where you just sit down and the car drives. It knows you want to go somewhere. It knows I want to stay there.
Interesting.
Anyway.
There you go.
I opened up. It is beautiful. The hotel room's gorgeous. And did you look inside? When you open up the cabinets above the booze bar,
I took a bottle of whiskey out last night.
Yeah, not the booze. I'm saying to the left of that, the workout stuff.
No, I took the booze.
Not. Yeah. Yes. Well, I didn't look at the booze.
Oh. Decent whiskey.
There were packages from our sponsor, Roan.
No.
Which is today's sponsor.
Look at
Volvo.
That.
How crazy is that?
Kismet.
It makes sense. And what is Roan about? Well, if you're like me, you have trouble finding comfortable clothes to wear. Hey, I just traveled a lot. LA, cabs, going back and forth to Logan Airport, picking up creepy kids. You're not comfortable if you're in jeans and ill-fitting jackets, which I had. And that's where Roan comes in. Men's closets were due for radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection, I wish I had had this, is the most comfortable, breathable, flexible set of products known to man, and here's why. Roan helps you get ready for any occasion with the commuter collection, offers the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter-inch zips, and polos. You never have to worry about what to wear when you have the Roan commuter collection. I have it. Can you believe it that I didn't bring it? I've been saving it for Monterey.
Oh.
And it doesn't wrinkle.
Can you get me some for Monterey? Oh, no, nothing fits. I hate all my clothes.
I don't want to look like you. No.
Oh, it would be so funny if we all walked out.
I have blue pants and I have a white shirt.
Oh, come on.
No, you have to develop your own look. Roan is mine, but I'll get you some.
Just all black. Whatever they have in black. Just send it to me.
So like Johnny Cash?
Well, I usually wear all black.
With Gold Fusion anti-odor technology. Well, you need that. Maybe I will get it for you. You'll be smelling fresh and clean all day and long on top of that. Roan is 100% machine washable. You can ditch the dry cleaner altogether. I'm telling you guys, I have this stuff. It is fantastic. The wrinkle-free aspect out of the suitcase is what is the big win for me.
Can I take it out of the hotel room? Can I just steal that stuff tonight?
It's workout gear.
Oh.
I wear their tennis shirts. They're long-sleeve tennis shirts, but they also, you know, it's they have the regular clothes to wear. You understand the commuting, the sitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look good at work, and then you can actually do something active like ride a bike or ride a bike to work.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah. That's what I want.
The commuter collection can get you through any work day and straight into whatever comes next. Head to Roan, Rhone.com/Spike911. Use promo code Spike911 to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Rhone.com/Spike911. Use code Spike911. It's time to find your corner office of comfort. Upgrade your closet with Roan and use Spike911 to save 20%.
Cool.
I believe in that sponsor. I like them.
I might steal one thing.
What?
I don't know. Something. I like taking stuff out of hotels.
They'll give you whatever you
want.
Yeah,
but you know. But the theft is absent, you know?
What? No. All right. What else do I have to talk about? Hold on. They had the largest gathering of Porsche Boxsters at the Peterson Museum this past weekend.
I saw that.
And directly across the street, the largest gathering of 9/11 guys laughing at them.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. I didn't really have much for that other than that.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Some Boxsters are pretty great.
I love the Boxster.
Yeah, me too. We've talked about this.
I think it's fantastic.
We're going to plan Z, like a $6,000 one.
Yeah, but that was weeks ago.
I forgot about it until just now, too.
The number of things that we talk about and then that we don't do.
We need a secretary.
We have one. I mean, we have Will, who's listening.
No, but like Dear Zuckerman, we should assign him, like, you know.
Has he graduated college yet?
I don't know.
So Dear Zuckerman is the guy who lives in Florida. He's the one who... I take these funny pictures of us.
Yeah.
And you send them to him, and he makes these stickers, right? Yeah.
I got your stickers with me, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Why would you think I would want that?
I don't know. I was packing cigars, and I had to keep the stickers in the same place.
I love that you brought cigars.
And I was like, I'll give Spike his stickers.
It would be,
and your T-shirts.
I'd feel so weird. What do I do with a T-shirt with my stupid face on it? I don't even like that. I'm letting you do it because it makes me look stupid, and that's fine.
People like these stickers, man.
I'm sure they
do. They're cool stickers.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to be honest, I am feeling a lot of pressure with how I'm going to photograph you. Like, I photographed Zuckerman in a moment and captured him on the porch, which became the Zuckerman sticker.
Yeah.
He said to me, if you follow the show, you'll remember he said to me, delete that now.
Yeah.
And I said, no.
Right.
This really is you, and I'm keeping it. And I waited about a year.
Right.
And then I sent it to Dear Zuckerman, hoping he had forgotten to tell me to delete it. Then the stupid cigar thing, I don't even know how that came about, but you were really pushing that one. Why don't you do that one?
It was, people like that one, and it the stickers came out great because they're multicolored.
Are they still selling them?
I don't know. But they sold well.
But you understand now I'm feeling pressure to capture your...
Nobody wants to see me. Trust me. No one wants to see me.
Capture your essence.
I have no essence.
In a sticker.
This
isn't about you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm feeling pressure.
Oh, okay.
It's going to happen.
I want to take the pressure off you.
No, it's not going to happen. People are asking for it.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now it's going to have a collection.
Mm.
There's going to be three of these things.
Well, we did remember with the illegal T-shirt, there were stickers.
Yeah.
But they didn't sell
Those aren't very good pictures, though.
Yeah.
Everybody looks stupid.
Yeah. The Zuckerman one's pretty good.
Maybe.
He's just got a funny face.
Where did those photos come from?
I don't know. I don't remember. Dear Zuckerman.
So he just dredged them up.
He just took them from wherever. Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't recall Jerry ever making that face anywhere.
I think that was Mo from the Three Stooges.
What a mess. What have you been driving lately?
The cake.
Oh, really?
The cake. The OSA. Yeah.
Okay. So just backing everyone up here.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with Cake. I love their bikes. We've been off-roading. We were with Eric from Cake, and I'm playing tennis with Chris from Cake. This is so crazy. It's a crazy world.
They get their arms around you, these Cake guys.
I know you don't want any more tennis talk, but just listen to this.
Yeah.
All right? Not you. I'm talking to dear listener. my kid's best friend... who we all play tennis with, the two kids, the two dads, they have to go to the daughter's horse thing, okay? And then we're playing tennis that night. They come back from the horse thing. They go, hey, we met someone that you know. And I'm like, who? The guys from Cake. I go, at the horse thing? They go, yeah. They had a Cake Swedish electric bike set up at the horse event. I didn't even care what a horse event is. I don't even know what it is, but apparently they jump. And it turns out this guy, Chris Beckstrom, maybe is his last name, another Swede who's living in here in Brentwood, who's part of Cake, who's separate from Eric, but I guess they work together.
Sure.
His daughter jumps horses. My friend's daughter jumps horses. He goes, I was over at Spike's house, and I think I saw those in the garage. Chris goes, I know Spike. And... I get
small cake
a DM
world.
On Instagram from what I think is a guy in Sweden going, hey, can I play tennis with you guys tonight? And he shows up.
Wow.
And he's a pretty good hitter.
Wow. Okay.
And he's now part of our live ball crew on Sunday nights.
Crazy.
And then you said, how do I get some of these cake bikes?
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me ask the guy here on the court.
And it's fantastic. Yeah.
But we actually went to his protege, Eric, who's a giant red haired Viking type.
Like a short giant.
Yeah. But he's, you know, the second I met Eric, he was hugging me, which made me extremely uncomfortable.
He's very
so funny.
He's very forward.
He's like, hello. He's like a Swedish Santa Claus. Come here, go to Spike. Come here. I give you a hug. Oh. Thank you, Viking man.
Yeah, he's very much like, I'm like, yeah, I'll come down and pick the bike up at some point. He's like, no, I'll bring it to your house. And then he's like, let's go inside. I'm like, my house is, you know,
they're hilarious. These guys are great. Yeah. And it turns out they're very tight with the Porsche community.
Yes.
Because the Porsche guys like the design of the cake bikes.
Yeah.
And, so anyways, I hook them up with you. They're now outfitting you and everybody who we
I know
at Rennsport Reunion.
Yes.
With the, which bike is it?
The commuter bike. I drove the OSA. That's like the big delivery bike one.
Yeah.
The people think it's ugly. I think it's cool looking. And then there's another one called the Maka, which is like more like a scooter. In other words, you don't have to sling your leg over it. You can just kind of step into it. And I think my wife is like super into both these. So I showed
Eric a picture of you on the bike. And he goes, yeah, it's very good. And I go, I don't think you understand. Johnny hates motorcycles.
Yeah.
And you got him. I think he's going to buy one of these.
I'm going to buy two, I think.
He's going to buy two.
I think
he hates motorcycles.
Yeah. These are great because, you know, kind of like where you live. Like, I live in a little village. LA is 42 little villages, right?
Right.
You know? So what do I do when I'm not going to, you know, Zuckerman's house? I go buy coffee beans. I go buy a bottle of milk. I go, you know, get a salad or whatever for dinner. And I don't, you know, you have to drive a car. If I have my Rivian, it's hard to park. It can go 50 miles an hour or whatever, but also it can go 2 miles an hour silently, and
it's
becomes a bicycle.
It's a belt drive.
Yeah, it becomes a bicycle, and you just pull up on the street. I went to the Rose Bowl. Like, you know, why park in the parking lot? I drove right up to the entrance of the kids' space. It's a bicycle.
You just put it there.
I rode off-road to the park,
You
know, and it's like it's two things in one, because it can act like, you know, it can't go on the freeway, but just for getting around town,
right?
It's perfect.
The design... I didn't really like the design when I first saw it, and it kind of secretly planned not to drive that and then just drive the Kok, the K-A-L-K.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The wonderfully named Kok, yes.
Yeah. And then I got out in a ride, and I loved it. It was for exactly what you said. It was just the way it rode was so comfortable and relaxing that I went from the ride to the design and then became a fan of it.
Yeah, it's like it's a giant battery. And that's all, you know, you look at it, you see this huge battery.
Right.
And here's what's great, too. Let's say you live in an apartment and it's hard to charge. Mm-hmm. You can un-Velcro the battery. It has a handle on it. Take it upstairs and charge it. It just plugs into the wall. Takes like 3 hours to fully charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's got huge shocks, big fat tires. So it's like super comfy ride. Goes off-road pretty well. You know, I wasn't jumping or anything, but like, you know, I rode around in the dirt. It was
fine.
It's
not an off-roader.
But
you said, you can use it as a bicycle or this mid-level.
Yeah, and
that's,
I was...
That's how I've been using the Saunders Metacycle, is the same way. It's like just something a hair faster and more usable than an electric bike, but not a full-on motorcycle.
Yeah,
it's really interesting little niche.
I've been taking Richard around on it, and he's just in love with it. Like, we went to the movie theaters
just
and,
gotta
like...
be careful. Stay out of traffic.
I'm filled with agita about, like...
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going on like the four lanes. I'm going on the two lane city streets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you stay off to the side.
Yeah.
And you don't stay in the middle of the lane when the light turns red because you get smushed.
Exactly right. Yeah, you pull off to the side. But like, he's in love with it. You know, and it's. I had the AMG EQE SUV.
Yeah.
677 horsepower. Drove it once that week because it was like I was so enamored
with
the bike.
I know.
And like, it's also like, oh. What a pain in the ass. You have to like park and walk. I can just pull up right to the front.
That's the big thing.
It's the last mile solution that they always talk about with mobility.
Eric, I wanted to drive the belt drive Kok with a license plate, the one I had photographed. So I took a picture of one at Alfred's in Brentwood that I think I put on Instagram, and it was Chris's bike.
Nice.
They're in Brentwood, right? So
I
rode that for a little while. He brought it over. Same thing. Had this nice Tacoma or something and took it off, and he goes, let's ride, my friend. He's the big Viking person. Let's go. Where's your son? Let me hug him, too. Don't touch the kid. He goes, you know, and he's not in the best shape for a guy to be on an electric motorcycle.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a big gentleman.
He's a big gentleman.
Yeah.
he gets on that bike, and we started hauling ass around my neighborhood. And I said, hey, you want to go up onto the trail? You want to have a little fun? Super hot day. It was one of those 90-degree days. I go, no, there's no one's going to be up there. So we blasted up the Kenter Trail all the way up to the top. He's blown away by the views. There were no hikers there, so don't give me a hard time. And I was like, yeah, you know, we're not supposed to have these up there. And he goes, oh, I don't care. Whoa. It's a big cask and flagon full of beer and right. mead that he's
Dragon
drinking.
Horn.
Yeah. And then we did the whoopties, and we were on the mountain bike trail, and you mountain bike guys are going to hate us, but too bad. We did it once, and we didn't hurt your stupid trail.
They're bicycles.
And by the way, it wasn't long. You've only been up there for, what, a year before they were telling you you couldn't even be up there, and then you get up there, and you're going to keep us out? Well.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
But don't worry, I'm only up there once a year. But
Eric must have been like very miserable in the sunlight, though.
He loved it. That okay. guy lives and breathes adventure.
So
he was supposed to come the day before,
okay.
and he had been riding out with a group. Cake takes out groups of people to Gorman to off road, and he had been there for 6 hours. And he goes, "I'm on my way to you." And I'm like, "How are you alive, dude?" I go, take a break. We'll
so he wants
tomorrow.
To do a thing where
no, I know.
We all go,
yes.
I'll bring the Rivian.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll
we're
be
putting
fun.
Together a little guest list. But
yeah,
we are going to do it.
Yeah.
And we're just looking at, we're trying to get the avails of a couple of our more notable guests who I'll tell you about after. But it will be epic.
Nice.
If it ends up being the people I've been told it'll be.
Oh, cool.
Except for me and you.
Yeah,
we'll be the losers of the group.
I'll be in the Rivian. I'll be fine.
But young James Ferriston will have his electric Suron up there.
Nice.
And hopefully we can all break some bones together.
Well,
but
like,
I'll
haul you out.
That cock is a, I know, unfortunately named, K-A-L-K.
Yeah.
And that's not their primary business. They want to sell the Maka, but that electric motorcycle, the off-road motorbike, I was going up a hill memorably on Kenter where it leapt. I hit the throttle a little too hard, and the torque on it, the thing, just like a two-stroke motorcycle, just went ba-boom and launched me.
How fast can that one go?
Don't know.
Okay.
You know, you ride it like you're riding it like a dirt bike.
Yeah.
So how fast you really want to ride a dirt bike, it's not. It's about can you get up a hill, can you have
some fun
on it, can you wheelie on it, and yes, it does all that
because
stuff.
Because the OSA, like, isn't particularly quick, but it's good enough. You can
right.
you know, cruise at 40 all day, no problem. Battery lasts forever. Yeah, like I charged it once, didn't even need to.
Wow.
I was just like, I should probably see how the charger works, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sold, man. I'm just like, this is exactly...
Oh, this makes me so happy.
Yeah.
We finally got you riding motorcycles.
Yeah,
This is so unlikely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want one where you... I think I want the Maka, though, where you don't need a motorcycle license. Mine expired in the 90s, and I don't want to deal with it.
You don't need them.
I know. Well, that's what I said. If you take the license plate off, the cop's not going to know it's not a bike, you know?
That one, probably not,
Yeah, the dirt bike looks like a motorcycle.
So after tennis, we went to a place called Luna Cycle, which was right next door, like a half mile away. And they sell they're kind of this outlaw electric bike brand or store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, they had a fake cake there,
nice.
Which I immediately sent to Eric and Chris, and they said, yeah, we're on it.
fake cake?
Yeah, let me handle that for you.
Oh, yeah.
Some Chinese knockoff of a cake.
Hey, Chinese cake.
They called it the fake cake. And they had Surons and Tilapias and whatever, just tons and tons of cool bikes. And I said to the dude there, I said, hey, I've been reading about Manhattan Beach, how the cops are kind of cracking down on kids and taking the bikes. He goes, yeah, it's everywhere. And I go, so as you guys fill up L.A. with kids riding electric off-road motorcycles on the street, he goes, yeah, the cops are starting to grab them.
Wow.
Really? Such an interesting dynamic. And then if you went into the parking lot, I can't remember the name of this other brand, Teleria, I think, has just made a Suron competitor that's faster and cheaper than the Suron. So the Suron comes in at $5,000. This bike is coming in at $4,000. They had 50 of them that they were building in the lot. So either we're going to have this moment like we did with electric scooters where they
just
had the
everywhere,
cops.
Yeah.
No, they had the cops lined up on the boardwalk out in Santa Monica. And they were taking them as people were riding illegally on there, and the pile was two stories high. And the next weekend, they said, just drive slowly. It was an unsustainable model.
Effort by the cops.
Yeah, or they're going to have to keep impounding kids' bikes.
Because my question is, if you're not going 60 miles an hour, if you're just going like bicycle speeds, what the hell's the difference between this and a bicycle? Like, really, what's the, like, from the cop's point of view?
That is what I think the rule will be based on.
Yeah.
If you were to look at it coldly, you'd have to say, this is an electric off-road motorcycle. The Suron, the Cock, that's what they're designed for, to off-road, which means you put it in a pickup truck or on a trailer and you take it where you're going.
But again, you can ride a mountain bike on the street and cops don't hassle you, right? You could.
It's about speed, and I think it's about protecting kids, because kids are attracted to the Suron, and they want to do wheelies. And then here's what's happening. Groups of kids in Orange County and other wealthy little areas
are doing wheelies.
10 of them are riding together.
Yeah,
the police show up, and then they go boom, and they
street
all hide.
Racing.
You can watch the videos on YouTube. They run to a friend's garage.
Yeah.
So the police are having their moment where they react to that.
Well, that's why the OSA is so cool, because it looks like, you know, like a medical shoe.
Right.
And so the cops are like, he's going to go deliver flowers, you know.
I think they're going to maybe, and I'm just being hopeful here and guessing, go, as long as you're behaving, and like you said, you don't drive over 15 if you're on a street, but if you're going somewhere and you're not being an idiot, we're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But right now in Manhattan Beach, we see you on it. We're grabbing it. Do you have a motorcycle license? These kids are 12 and 13 years old.
Exactly.
And they're just dead. And look, they have... You know, I understand it. I understand both sides. But these kids have so much fun. They have a little freedom. They have a cool thing. We were jumping stupid BMX bikes over cars and stuff. We were doing dumb crap.
That was my whole life, was my bike. I mean, nothing else mattered except for my bicycle.
And at the same time, you don't want kids on motorcycles mixing in traffic, do you?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Let's talk about Volvos.
Okay.
Who are we talking to?
Thomas. All right.
We'll bring over Thomas here. Let me text. Thomas has the best mic.
Volvos.
Hi, Thomas. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
What's your name?
I don't design Volvos.
Last name?
Schultz.
Thomas Schultz.
McIntyre Schultz.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you... What do you do with Volvos?
I'm in communications.
Oh. PR guy on.
PR. That's good. Well, communicate with us. Tell us what this car is and why we should care about it. The EX30.
The EX30. It's an espresso shot of Volvo.
Not a shot of
Aquavit?
No. Okay. That wouldn't be safe for the road.
Oh, fair.
But espresso shot, that'll keep you awake. It's basically everything that you know and hopefully like about Volvos distilled into a smaller package.
But it's, from what I've learned about it, and I'm kind of your customer right now, this is the entry point for Volvo Electric, right? Is there anything, this is a $30,000 car?
$34,950.
And... it's about 275 miles on charge is what we're thinking. When is it coming out?
Next year.
First
quarter 24. And it's fun. Like, there's so many details of the interior that Lisa was showing us that I really responded to. I like when you opened the door, you had the paint splatter look. I was telling Johnny it looks like one of those Rolex dials, custom dials they do with the dots.
Yeah.
But then we were hearing that was some sort of sustainable element.
Yeah, there's a ton of new materials in this car, and honestly, just really cool ways of reinterpreting old materials, like the door panels themselves, instead of having sort of like a fake leather grain, they have this much more modern, in my opinion, interpretation of a cool pattern. I mean, you've got to give the plastic texture, and our designers got pretty creative and progressive with it and gave them some new textures. And then, of course, the sustainability aspect. Most of it's made from recycled or natural materials, trying to get away from that virgin plastic.
Right. And we were talking about that earlier when I was saying, do people care yet about that when they buy a car? Or do they, you know, you were saying they care about comfort first maybe, but then they like that? Or tell me a little bit about that, because I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, if I were to approach this car as a buyer right now, I would first go, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And then, you know, I don't have to feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I think there's people that don't care at all. And for them, you know, it's just about making the car comfortable.
I'm just going to aim this at your mouth. Look, there you go.
People that don't care at all, they just want it to be comfortable. They want it to feel good, look good. And I think this car delivers on that. Then there are the people for whom, you know, that's important. Maybe that's the first consideration. Sustainability is a bonus, that you get to feel good, look good, and then you don't feel guilty either about your choices. But there is a growing segment of customers that really do care about these things. It's especially kind of on the younger side of our buyers. They're, right. They are looking
your
into
old
these
Spike,
things.
That's why you don't care.
Yeah.
Let me be a polite man.
You know your black heart?
It's the younger version, you know, the under 50s.
or well under 30s. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. They're looking
well,
for
Well, at this
price things.
Point, though, I mean, right? I mean, at $35,000, look, the average price for a new car in the U.S. is cracked $48,000. So, you know, coming in at $35,000 or under $35,000 is like a hell of a segment. You'll attract a lot of people, not just young people. And then I understand there's a version, this is what I care about, two motors that has 500 horsepower.
422.
Oh, 422 horsepower. Yeah. Oh, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty good.
But the 0 to 60.
Exactly.
3.4 seconds.
Adequate.
That's great.
Pretty quick.
A little electric deal.
That's
fastest
great.
Accelerating Volvo ever.
This, you know, here's what the overall feeling I got when you showed me the car was it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Like on the dash is a giant sound bar, mm-hmm. right?
The moose. It's got a moose in it.
It's got a, what's the name of the moose again?
Morton.
Morton the moose. And what was the moose on it? It was on the little cup holder?
The removable the rubbish can. Bin.
Okay. Yeah. You pull that out and there's a little mm-hmm. design on it. And it's just, it's a lot of fun and a lot of little ergonomic improvements, right? Like the window switches were moved to the back, and you got the feeling that everything was very intuitive when you sat down. You're just going to reach for something, and it's already there, right?
It's cool, though, because, like, you know, there's way, like look, having a center set of window switches, right?
That's right.
You're saving money. You don't have to put some here, some on that door, some on
and
this
materials.
Door. And you can, it's a good sustainability story. Really, you're saving money, but it doesn't feel cheap. Like, Volkswagen did this insane thing on the ID4 where you have two window switches,
right.
And you hit a button to activate the rear windows. You just feel like you're just being
That's
robbed
weird.
Every time you roll down the rear windows. It's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
This doesn't do that. So it's smart. Like they are, you know, it's a cheaper way to build a car, but
right.
you don't feel victimized. Like,
no,
I don't have a lot of money. They hate me. You know, it's the worst feeling in the car
I
world.
Want less choices with cars. Have you been reading about, there seems to be a lot of buyer dissatisfaction with new cars all of a sudden. They couldn't, even with our favorite brands, with Porsches and BMWs.
No one can figure them out.
People are just kind of flagging. And I think there's too many choices in cars. There's too much bullshit in cars.
Well, look
right
at
now.
You know that AMG I was talking about, and this is true of all current Mercedes. I don't know where anything is, and I do this for a living. I play with Mercedes for a living, and I can't find, like, I was trying to find seats.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, it's that home switch, not that home switch, because they have a physical home switch and a virtual one, and
right
zero layer. And all
I don't
nonsense.
Like that.
Yeah,
I don't
complex,
like that. But so. I didn't get that sense in this car. It
no,
pretty
no.
simple. Was I'm, that intentional?
Yeah, absolutely. I won't comment on the competitors. I'll let you guys.
No,
do
go
that,
ahead,
but,
please.
But I will say, yeah, that's definitely part
comment
of our
comment on your coworkers.
that's for a private podcast. But that's definitely our philosophy of. Basically, you know, our view is the car should just be good from the factory. We're not relying on you to set it up mm-hmm. properly. I mean, it's nice to have choices sometimes, but with a car in this segment like this, our belief is really just that we should give it to you properly, and then that should be a good experience in and of itself right out the gate.
Wow. And what's cool, too, is, like, you know, it's a tiny little thing, but because there's no engine transmission, like, I don't know if you looked at the rear seat, but for something that small, there's a lot of room in the back. And that's what, you know, that's what you get with EVs. And it's hard to.
Well, you know how I like
that,
to get the groceries.
Yes.
I like that floor in the hatch. You open it up. There's
two-stage floor.
Yeah. Usually I buy the little cargo holder to throw the grocery bags in because I knock them over all the time because I'm speeding all the time.
Well,
the floor drops.
Yeah.
And then the bags would fit right in there.
So will the
I had never seen that before.
Will the eggs
that
break
was really
at
cool.
3.4 seconds to 60?
I just appreciated a new idea. A new idea.
It's great.
Somebody had a new idea. They didn't just have the little grocery bag holder there.
No, and there's a lot of cool stuff. Like the window switches, you were saying, and the sound bar is.
Yeah.
It's just this really clever sort of rethinking of the ways
totally.
You can do things. Because the sound bar, not only is it good and does it kind of make sense, everyone has a sound bar in their house now, basically, but it also saves wiring. And that's not just sustainability and cost, but it's also space.
Yeah.
That's how we're able to deliver
how
such
does it
a
save
car
wiring?
Inside.
I don't understand.
We don't have to send wires to all the speakers that are throughout the doors and the roof.
So the sound is just coming from the front and pushing back.
depends on the spec of the car, but yes, in the base spec car, it's just in
I'm
the
totally
front there.
Fine with that.
It's but actually then, using the windshield to reflect
I
some of the
interesting. I noticed the doors were thinner because they don't have to have speakers in them.
Or window switches.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, and I was looking at like, you know, there wasn't the cabling. It just looked cleaner. The whole thing looked really Scandinavian, for lack of a better term, but it was a very, you know, there's a hinge. That's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, and the door was nice and thin. And I'm sure it's a Volvo, so I'm sure it's safe. So it's just, it was kind of different. It was, you know, because, you know, I look at like, you know, a Mercedes door, like the, my Rivian door, which is like 2 feet thick. And it's just like, oh, that's kind of different and new and interesting. So,
yeah. Just kind of putting what's essential in the door, the safety, of course, some style, door handle, and then moving the other stuff elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a big winner,
cool.
I
pretty
think.
Cool. Yeah.
Are you going to be able to make enough?
We'll see.
Like, seriously, if you're going to order it, are they going to say you can't get one for a year? Can you guys crank these out?
Not currently the plan. Personally, I wouldn't be mad about being in that situation.
Oh,
but
like that.
Right,
yeah.
That's why we've got the pre-order process, so the people that are most excited about them can get their hands on
and
it.
And they can
first.
Order them now.
They can order them now.
And then what is this event tonight that Johnny and I are going to?
The event tonight, it's to tell you more about the car.
Well, I feel like we know about the car.
I think we do.
We might go smoke cigars somewhere.
Well, we're gonna have a terrace out here. I don't know if smoking's allowed, so I'll check on that.
No, we're going to come.
Yeah.
My brother Wally's coming.
There's going to be food.
It's going to be food. Yeah. That'll get us there
your
for
brother,
a little while.
The celebrity.
Yes, the celebrity.
My wife is like excited that he's your brother.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, she really likes him.
Celebrity Seth brother.
Myers. He's the cue card.
Cue card guy.
He's the cue card guy for Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon. He's coming for the free food. That's the level of celebrity he is. And we're all on strike, so none of us can do anything. Well, that'll be fun. All right, we'll come eat.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
I'll have some more facts about the car, some good food, some good company. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Cool. Is there going to be music?
Yeah.
Or lots of speeches?
I actually think...
Speeches.
If it didn't get pulled, I helped put together the playlist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But these things often get pulled when I help put them together.
Is Drake coming? Because I know he was at Madison Square Garden last night.
I invited him.
Drake,
but we'll see.
And what do you know? We were guessing at what this collector car place is. It's a.
Have you never been here?
I have twice, and I forget. But it's a collection that you can belong.
Yes.
And you can take the cars out, right?
Yes. So basically, instead of. I live in Manhattan, so
right.
I very much relate to this. No one has space to keep cars on
right,
their own.
Right.
So here you can basically be part of a club that has access to a lot of new and classic cars and use them when
what
you want.
What do they have in their collection?
I know they have a 993 that I've wanted to drive.
Oh, wow.
But there's a lot in there. A lot of old stuff, a lot of
and
new
stuff. And
you
pay like a monthly and you get to drive the cars.
Yeah, it's like... I feel bad now because like, I'm not a representative of them, but it's a credit-based system.
There's probably a sliding scale. Like if you take the Ford GT, if you pay X. Wow.
And like weekends are more than weekdays,
sure, that kind of
stuff. Well, let's buying a flight.
Let's go walk over there and look at it. Check
yeah, definitely.
It let's do it.
Yeah, we moved all the cars out of here, though, so we could have it all for EX30.
Well, good for you. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having
me. And inviting us.
Yeah.
We're excited to be here.
Good.
And that's it, Johnny. That's all we have.
That's the
show. Have anything else to add?
I mean, that AMG, which I drove twice.
What?
Is pretty good. I told you it was the AMG EQE. That's the one you might actually be interested in.
I have driven it.
It's the AMG version of it.
Yeah.
So 677 horses.
I drove it.
Okay.
I drove it. It's fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
no,
really
I'm
good.
Already talking to them, too.
Okay.
I've really lost my mind here. I'm getting Bronco Heritage quotes. I'll be looking
into
this car. I got to tell you, it's a front runner.
Really?
Yeah.
But don't you already have the Land Cruiser?
The Defender's going.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's done.
No, the old Land Rover.
Yeah, but I don't drive. I can't daily that.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a mess.
You guys didn't take my mic away, so I've got to make a case for Volvo here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sell them.
Well, we just did.
Yeah, we just made the case.
It's possible, but it's going to be a process.
But doesn't Jack need a car soon?
He does.
Safe?
No, I know.
Safe?
That was in the back of my head
he survives the electric motorcycle.
But he doesn't ride motorcycles. It's the little guy
James
who does.
One, yeah.
But he'll be driving in 24. So, yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Get everything. Get one of these, get one of those.
You know, Volvos tend to be safe. They care about it.
Interestingly, when we were talking about the Mercedes to our lease guy, he was saying there's a little bit of a feeling of there's a glut of electrics in the market right now, and that the Mercedes in particular was suffering from some software issues.
I don't know about the software issues, but the EVs that aren't getting the Build Back Better tax credit, so basically if you're over a certain price,
exactly.
There's no credit suddenly. If it's not built in America, there's no credit suddenly.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple of those piling up. But that whole, that's a weird narrative. Like,
okay, you know, but hold on.
Yeah.
Software-wise.
Yeah.
I then mentioned that to Zuckerman. He said he had three friends, a couple, they had to get rid of the car because the software wasn't right. Okay?
I mean, sure.
Now I'm walking in Santa Monica, and I see a guy in an EQE who I don't know. And I said, excuse me, sir.
Oh, no.
He goes, yes. I go, can I ask you? It was Eric. Oh, same Viking boy. Eric, what are you doing there? No. And I said, can I just ask you a question? Do you like that? He goes, yeah. And I go, you're having software issues? He goes, yeah, absolutely. I go, okay. So thumbs up, thumbs down. And he went in the middle. And I go, because of the software.
Well, I mean, they should be able to
fix
that. And
then the lease numbers have been coming down.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
Could be your time. Because they can fix the software with an update.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, the hardware is good.
Yeah.
You know, Mercedes tend to be safe. But, you know, for Jack.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Jack. I'm worried about me.
Oh, you. So you're either a Bronco, a Volvo. You're really all over the place.
Look, I drove that Velocity Bronco, right?
Yeah, the dumb one.
It was amazing. I had so much fun in it. It wasn't exactly working right, and I didn't care. I loved it, and I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
And would actually think about getting one.
Okay.
It's paradoxical. Everything I just said doesn't make sense.
I don't even see you in that car, but okay, go ahead.
It was, it's not about being seen in it. It's about enjoyment. I enjoyed my weekend in that Velocity Bronco.
Sure.
I had a good time.
Okay.
And I had to take that thing on the 405, and it does not work right on the 405.
No, yeah. No. There's no wheelbase.
So
yeah,
I can get a little of that in a Bronco Heritage. I can take the doors off and take the top off, and, you know.
Oh, you mean a new Bronco Heritage.
Brand new.
Oh, we'll talk after that. I wouldn't do that. I'll advise you against that. Get a Jeep.
But you'll talk on the show.
No.
Advising me not about a vintage.
Do you want to keep going? No, the Broncos are kind of cheap. They're kind of.
I know they are, but again, it's fun.
Yeah, but there's a Jeep, and the Jeep's better, and you can get a V8 one.
I disagree. I think the Bronco has a better vibe to it than the Jeep. And I think you're right. The Jeep might work better, and I've off-roaded those before, and they're fantastic, but it's not me.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I'm just saying I'm all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to throw all these into a basket right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I would advise against the Bronco. Personally.
You could just invite every PR guy from these companies on to argue for you.
What if we did, like, remember the Zuckerman-Musk cage fight? Like, PR cage fighting.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
For Spike's
new business. They have to play it too safe. They're always afraid.
No, but, you know, we could just tell them we're not going to broadcast it. We have, like, you know. Thomas versus somebody, you know, Michael from Mercedes.
No.
Come on. Thomas is
the most relaxed that's ever been on the show. But they have to worry about their jobs. They have to be very careful.
Right. We'll do it in secret. It'll be great.
All right. We'll do it at the party
tonight. We'll grease them up.
Anyway, that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in Los Angeles next week.
In a Maybach.
Really? Next week's
The Maybach shows up on Friday, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have a Bentley Continental GT convertible coming in Wednesday.
Well, can't do a show in a convertible.
Oh, my God. It's a glut of great cars. And we're doing that Friday night?
We could do a Friday night. We could do a Saturday night. We could do it whenever.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do that then.
Cool.
Go to In-N-Out Burger.
Nice.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Likewise. Yeah.
And thanks for inviting us.
Thank you
for bringing us
out. Coming.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.